Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer.
And our God and Father, we do look to you, that you would set apart your word, Spirit of God, our Lord and Savior, set him apart for us. Thank you, Lord, for your personal presence. Thank you, Father, for your presence. God, we want to honor you. We want to understand and thank you thoughtfully, thankfully, with joy, with delight. God, help us. Thou art a wonderful, awesome God. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, and the last living apostle, and in the process of chapter 9, the blind man who was given sight from birth, blind from birth, and the Pharisees, etc. And chapter 9, verse 40, 41, you're still talking to the same group. You're talking to the Pharisees and all the other people that are there. So that's the same crowd, the same group. Now, so chapter 10, so far, it's talking to that group. Now, in chapter 10, the Lord Jesus went, and having looked at the blind man, having talked to the and given the message, the explanation of the purpose of the blind man's healing, etc., to the Pharisees, he gives a parable, chapter 10, verse 6, that they did not understand. It was very simple, because it was about sheep and shepherds, which were all over the place, and they certainly would have known it. But the way he said it, I am the door, that caught their attention. And thus they're trying to get him still. So he goes, they didn't understand verses 1 through 6. So therefore he explained to them in verses 7 through 16. He explained to them what he was trying to say to them and help them understand if they would want to understand. And there needs to be, 7 through 15, there needs to be a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, which existed in that day, and the shepherd and the sheep, and the blind man illustration that was given sight. He found his way into the shepherd keeping of God as a sheep. The Pharisees, there and then, did not. They rejected, and the other crowd with him, they rejected him. And thus, and you pick it up in chapter 10 and in verse 19, and there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he has a devil, or he is mad, why hear ye him? So, the same crowds listening after all this explanation. And in the process of that, the sheep, we shared together last time, the chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And we shared together the particular verb to know is a knower. A knower is knowing something. The shepherd, the knower, is knowing the sheep, and the verb, the sheep are knowing the shepherd. Goes both ways, comes together. Shepherd knowing the sheep, sheep knowing the shepherd. Very intimate, personal, experiential, very full, enjoying its fullness now. And the Lord goes a step further and said, I want to tell you what I just said to you. There is such a unique personal relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. They know his voice. They will not follow another. And in verse 15, he said, let me help you understand what I just said to you. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. The Father is the knower. The Father is knowing the Son. The Son, in turn, is knowing the Father. Both ways coming together. As the Father and Son enjoy each other's person, presence, power. The sheep are to enjoy the person, presence, and power of the shepherd. The shepherd is enjoying the sheep. The sheep are knowing and enjoying the shepherd. Very, very personal and wonderful. That's what it's all about. The end of verse 10, I have come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. Now, having said that little bit, keeping in mind, now you come to verse 16. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, to take that apart a little bit, so you see it, in the, verse 16, chapter 10, And the other sheep I have. I have other sheep. I have other sheep. Here's the sheep, the believers right then and there, and counting the blind man, counting all of them that have been believing and waiting for Christ to die. All of them are there. And the Pharisees don't know, but they're there. Those are sheep. They're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They are, and they will when he goes to the cross. Those are sheep. There are other sheep besides them. There's a whole other group. Here you guys are, sheep, and I just told you the wonderful relationship you ought to be having, and those that believe are going to enjoy it. Now, verse 16, and other sheep I am having them, which are, verse 16, N-O-T, they're not of this fold. They don't belong to this fold. Remember, fold is where you put the sheep, you fence them in, and here they are in the fold. One fold, two fold, three fold. There's the word flock. I could have a flock that is made in one, two, three folds. All the same flock. There's fold and flock. Verse 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. I must bring them, carry them, lead them, care for them. I must do that. I'm bringing many sons to glory is the verb, etc. The Spirit of God lead, believers are led to bring, to lead, to care, to keep, to carry. Verse 16. I also, them, the other sheep, also I must bring, carry, care for, and they, the other sheep, are going to hear my voice. They're going to hear, listen to obey, remember, to give a hearing ear. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to whosoever. Is anyone listening when I say something? Anyone? My word. I speak, anyone that hears my word. Now, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, etc. Now, verse 16. And they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. And the word fold there is the word flock. One flock, one shepherd keeping one flock of sheep. That's what you got. So, we want to answer. Here they are listening, and he tells them there's a whole other batch of people somewhere that are going to be included under my shepherding, And they're going to be included as one flock, one group of people that are saved. There's going to be one of them. Now, so that's, and one fold and one shepherd. Now, having said that, now I'm going to go, there's different ways to do this to try to understand simply. So I'm going to have a little exercise for you to use your Bible, and we're going to go and move through history. I want to tell you, you'll follow, it'll come clear. Flock, one flock, lots of sheep, hold it now. What about all this business of one flock, one shepherd? Hang on. Now, over if you would please, in your Bible, over to the book of Genesis and chapter 1. You'll be able to turn the pages and stay awake a little longer. Genesis chapter 1. And you will notice in chapter 1, God created Adam, as we've been studying in Sunday school and that. And verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man, verse 27, in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. So here's Adam and the line of Adam, of which we are a part. Now, here's all the humans. And chapter 3, and picking up in verse 15, God, here's all the humans. Adam and Eve sinned, remember, and God made a wonderful promise to them. Chapter 3, Genesis, verse 15, and I will put enmity, hostility, between the devil and the woman, and between thy seed, the devil's seed, unsaved, and her seed, believers, and it shall bruise thy head. The devil's going to go and crucify Christ, and Christ shall bruise his head, and the devil will bruise his heel. That is, he's going to crucify him. It's a wonderful promise that Christ is going to die for the sin of Adam and Eve, and there's going to be the believers, and there's going to be the unbelievers, okay? All the way through history now. There's believers and unbelievers. And in the process now, going, if I can, to chapter 10. In chapter 10, may I pick up, please, in chapter 10, picking up in, going directly to verse 5. 10 and verse 5. Speaking, remember, the Genesis 11, the nations, the people are scattered from the Tower of Babel, and they end up with all these nations, all different languages, etc., located differently. Now, what are we going to call all these people? Christ died for all of them. He died for all of them. And he's there, and he created them in the image, in his image and likeness. And they all were to know him in Genesis 3:15, the promise to save them. Chapter 10, verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after their tongue, after their families, by their nations. Now I want you to pick up the word in verse 5. By these were the Gentiles, isles of the Gentiles. Gentiles. The word Gentile means a body, coming back, body, a whole body, a person, goy, person, and then persons, people. So, Gentiles. We got Gentiles. What are we going to call everybody? Gentiles. That's what we're going to call them. They're Gentiles. Christ died for all the Gentiles. Now, hang on. Over if you would, and now, remember in chapter 6, in the days of Noah, and Noah trusted God, and all of those people perished, but Noah was a believer, And now we got Noah and his three sons. Out of his three sons, among them comes Abraham. Chapter 11. Comes Abraham, and Abraham comes forward, and we're going to go directly now. Abraham, God, you call them out of Ur of Chaldees. Chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, 1. We got Gentiles, Gentiles, and Gentiles, and Gentiles. People. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families, A-L-L, of the earth be blessed. So everyone, Abraham, his Noah believed, the rest didn't. Here they all developing again, and God picks a man out. It doesn't mean that Job and Elihu and others weren't saved. God picked Abraham out to illustrate how to be saved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed the promise of God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, here's Abraham. Abraham is going to be the example for all of the world. In order for what? In order for all the world to be blessed, Genesis 3:15, to enjoy God's saving, wonderful work. Now, having said that about Abraham, Abraham, chapter 14, Genesis. Genesis chapter 14. May I pick up, please, in verse 13. This is on Abraham now. First place it's used. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew. That's the first place. So here we are, Gentiles. Everyone's a Gentile. But now, here's Abraham, and he's called a Hebrew. A Hebrew. The word involves transition, to cross over. He crossed over from Ur of Chaldees. They got over. He crossed over. He left it all. He came, followed God's leading to the land of Canaan. He's a Hebrew. A Hebrew. That's what he is. Now, in the light of that being a Hebrew, Genesis 40. Genesis 40, may I pick up, please? If I may, in verse 15, 40 and 15. For indeed, I'm trying to get you to see, Abraham, a Hebrew, everyone is a Gentile, Abraham's seed, what are we going to call them now? Chapter 40, verse 15. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing but that they should put me in a dungeon. So here you are, Joseph. You're a Hebrew among all the Hebrews. They're all the seed of Abraham coming. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. Here are the 12 tribes. What are you going to call you guys? Hebrews, Gentiles, Hebrews. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, go with me to Deuteronomy and in chapter 4. By the way, you've got to have the other word. The other word is Jew. They're Hebrews, and then it's going to come along and they're going to call them Jews. Jew, J-E-W, Jews, Judah, the tribe of Judah, one of the sons of Abraham. The tribe, 12 tribes, one is Judah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the tribe of Judah. Jews, from the tribe of Judah. They're called Jews. Now, So we have that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, as you would know, for 100 years we've been doing it. Israel's assignment. What is the assignment of the Hebrews and the Jews? Why did God do that? Chapter 4, Genesis 3:15 is for everybody. Chapter 4, remember now, may I pick up for time's sake, I think. Verse 1, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you reason for to do them, that, purpose, you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Sliding over now to verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. That's Palestine. And in doing so, keeping and honor my word, verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding, honoring God and his word, an understanding in the sight of all the nations, verse 6, which shall see all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great which hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation, verse 8, is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? So here, what's their purpose? To be in the land of Israel, honoring God and his word and his person, so that all the world can pay attention and look at Jerusalem, look at Israel, and see what are they missing. They're missing a unique personal relationship to God, being created in his image and likeness, Christ dying for the sins of the world. They ought to tell the world by their relationship to God. That is what's missing out there in the world. And the nations need to see it. The Gentiles need to see what the Hebrews and Jews are pointing to. That's their assignment. Now, having said that little bit, if you would, and keeping that in mind, over to Isaiah and chapter 42. Isaiah and chapter 42. Now the Hebrews, the Jews, had an assignment to be a light for the nations of the world to see and know God in a serious and wonderful way. Now, here in Isaiah chapter 42. May I go directly, for time's sake, just get the flavor of it in the light of the context of the Lord. Verse 6, 42:6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Think of the Sunday school time. In righteousness. And I will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. That's right. Hebrew, you're to be Jew, you are to be a light for all people to see. That's to see. And over, if you would, chapter 45. Chapter 45. If I may, picking up, please, in verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Who? All the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God, and there is none other. I'm the only God, and the end of verse 21, I'm the only Savior. So understand, everyone that's a human, Gentiles, people, do you understand that the Hebrew and Jew, the Jew is to be and has an assignment as a nation to all of the nations, to all of the people of the world, to pay attention to the one born in Bethlehem of Judea of the tribe of Judah, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the Savior of the world, the fulfiller of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. Now, over here, chapter 49. Chapter 49, picking up in verse 6 again. to our Lord again, looking at our Lord, God looking at our Lord. And he said, "It is a light thing, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob," that's Israel, "and to restore and preserve the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee also for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth." Mine. So that's their assignment. And chapter 56. And in verse 7. "Even them," in the light of the context, "even them will I bring to my holy mountain. I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people." And verse 8, "And the Lord God which gathereth the outcast of Israel," what are you saying? "Yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him." So here we are, here's the Lord in John 10. I'm looking, here's you guys that believe, girls that believe, and Pharisees don't, but you're all believers. I am your shepherd. By the way, I'm not just your shepherd. I'm not just your shepherd. I'm the shepherd of the whole world. And your job is to shine, which you aren't, which they weren't, to the Gentiles. Now, over, if you would please, in the light of that, Matthew chapter 10. So our Lord's ministry, as you know, Matthew chapter 10, and may I pick up, please, the thought in chapter 10, and go, may I, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth, 10:5, commanded them, saying, "Go not," N-O-T, "into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter not." In other words, leave the Gentiles and Samaritans alone. "Because," verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 6, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Verse 7. What are you going to do? Lord, your assignment to the 12 apostles is to go, not to the Samaritans and not to the Gentiles, go to the Jews. The Jews are not believing. The Pharisees want to kill him, and the other people think he's crazy. So, wow, they aren't going to go. No, go to those people and tell them. Let it be on their own head. It isn't when they crucify me, they are going to know ultimately who they crucify. And when I come, they will know. When they die, they will know. Now, in chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, go to the, start with the Jew, chapter 15. And picking up again, verse 24 again. "But he answered and said," 15:24, "I am not sent unto the lost sheep. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Right now, I'm ministering to the Jews. You always start with the people, the beginning. Where do you start fixing the darkness? You start with the light. The light. Here's the darkness. Here's your light. The light has a problem. It isn't on. Where do you start? With a light. You need a bulb. You need a bulb. You need to put something in there to fix it. Where do you start to reach the Gentiles in the darkness? You go to the Jews. The Jews need light. The Jews are the light. The Jews need to be bright, light, and bright in order for the world. I'm going to the Jew first. Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. May I pick up, please? Verse 16. I'll read verse 15. For as much 1 and 15 Romans. For as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. That's Jew and Gentile. But, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 16, I didn't mean to go that fast. I'll read it again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Verse 16, that was verse 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, whoever you are, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the Gentiles. So we start with the Jews. We start where the light is to fix the light so that other lights can be lit. Over in Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. And would you note, please? Romans 2, may I go to verse 10. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. You start with the Jews. You start with they have the assignment to be a light in the darkness. You start with them. That's what you do. It's logical, and my ministry is to the Jews. I'm the one that was promised, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm the promised one. And the Jews need to see that and know that. Now, in the light of that, so Jews and what do we have? Jews and Gentiles. And what are you going to say when you come to the Gospel of John, again, over if you would, the Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, our Lord did, and his own, the Jewish people, received him not. They wanted to kill him. That's the Jews, to the Jew first. John, you're the last living apostle. What are you doing? I'm looking out, John said. I want you to know, here I am down the road. I'm not talking about Acts chapter 2. I'm talking about way up in just before 100 AD. Wow. John says, listen, I want to tell you what it's all about. The shepherd. I was there. I saw, I heard him. I wrote about him. John chapter 10. I'm telling you. I want you to know, though, I'm going to add something. I'm going to tell you, where we are. John 10, 16. There's other sheep. There's a whole other, the flock is bigger. The shepherd's the same, but the flock is big. He came to save the world. Wow. So here, John, he came to the Jews, verse 11, received him not. But verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So God, here we are. And we know without taking time, if you did, in John 10, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, you're going to say what? Now, you don't have it anywhere else, not until now, after his crucifixion, God does something wonderful with whosoever's. And, well, we'll go there. I won't even have you guess at it. Over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, if I may. And in verse 32. Whether, therefore, you eat, believers, or you drink, or whatever you do, do all of it to the glory of God. Give none offense, don't be a stumbling block, either to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and thirdly, never before, to the church of God. We got a whole new group, a whole new bunch of people that are called mine. I have them in my grace to demonstrate to Jews that I'm believing, to Gentiles that I'm believing. I have a whosoever's, Jew and Gentile, coming together to be a light to the world. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Now, hang on. Over to Romans 11. Now let me just run by you. I know this is, all I'm trying to do is give you a scanning window view. Do you understand? Jews, Gentiles, what people? They got the Jews over here and the Gentiles over here and God of you, and they got Reformed and Covenant theology, replacement theology and all of that. The church must be the Jews, etc., etc. Whoa, a mess. Now, remember, Christ dies on the cross, and in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we have Jews on the day of Pentecost. Now, there could be Jewish proselytes, obviously, but Jews. And God, that's to the Jews first. Uh-huh. They're the ones most ready. John the Baptist made them ready, and if you would. And then we go to chapter 8, and we have the Samaritans. We couldn't go to the Samaritans before, but we can go to them now. We can go to them now. And we got the Samaritans, chapter 8 of Acts. Chapter 10 of Acts, we got the Gentiles. We got the Gentiles. Jews, now Samaritans, half Jew, half Gentile. Gentiles, we're going to Cornelius, etc. We got all of that wonderful, wonderful stuff. Now, in the light of that, and I need to, oh boy, how am I going to do this? Hold your finger in Romans 11. Got that? That's what your fingers are for. You wonder why they were made. Romans 11. And go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. And you will note, remember, you read it in the scripture reading in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, in the church, in the body. Oh, there's Jews out there, you betcha. Gentiles, absolutely. But the whosoever's right now, no Jew, no Gentile, they're the church. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ in a special way. So here, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews, or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. With God, you brought us all together in a unique and most wonderful way. You brought us together. And God, you did it to the Jew. And you're going to do it, you're going to go and over to chapter 11 of Romans. Remember, God is explaining in Romans 11, 9, 10, 11, of what about the Jews during this time? The Jews aren't out of business. They just aren't busy at the moment. They're sort of set aside as a nation, though they're very active in being a testimony, even though it's negative. Romans chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 11. Romans 11, 11. I say it, I then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the who? Gentiles, that's us, for to provoke, why did you do it, God? To provoke the Jews to jealousy, the Jews. And they don't want it. They don't want to be, you believe in Christ, and if Christ was us, with us, the Messiah, then we rejected him. But the Gentiles have received him. That's right, John 1:12. So we're receiving him, and the Jews don't like it. And they reject Christ, the church. Actually, the Bible-believing church is the best, you know this, the best friend Israel could ever have.
more of an asset than the priest in a temple.
Now, so, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them, when the Jews, captivity, Babylonian and all of that, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, we all benefited, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, that's us, how much more they're full. So when they get full, when everything gets right like it's supposed to be, when I come after the tribulation, and the Jews are going to be raised up as a nation in one 24-hour day. Boom! Wow. That's what I'm going to do. Wow. And I'm going to do that. Now, you Gentiles, don't you get all huffy, puppy, whatever. Don't you get excited. You're there because they said no. And I'm demonstrating grace right now in whosoever's. And whosoever's that are saved, Jews or Gentiles. The message is to Jew and Gentile, you need to be saved. We are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are to represent the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jew and the Gentile, that they get saved. But they are not. No, not yet. They aren't as a nation. No. Chapter 11 and in verse 25. For I would, brethren, that you should be ignorant, of this mystery. I would not, brethren, N-O-T. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until the last Gentile is saved in the body of Christ, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, God. Here we are looking. And you're going to do something wonderful, tribulation, and then the millennium, and the Jews as a nation are going to be a true light to all of the nations of the world. And the Jew in that time, wonderfully, you remember all the things that are going to be in the process, Jerusalem, every pot, pan, and spoon, and shovel will be holy unto God. And all the world will want to hold and touch, as the Jews worship, go to worship, they'll want to touch their garment and hold their garment, because the Jews are blessed, wonderfully blessed, for the world to get saved. And they have 1,000 years in the kingdom to turn Gentiles to turn to God. 1,000 years. And the church is there, but we're already with it. Wow. So now, having said that little bit, and remembering now when he comes in the tribulation, just for the sake of adding it quickly, chapter 25, God is going to judge the Jews, and then he's going to judge the Gentiles. Remember Matthew 25. And when he judges all the nations, they're going to come before him, and he's going to separate them. The good guys are going to be called what? Sheep. And the bad guys are going to be called goats. And God is going to save the sheep and move the goats. Wow. God, you're going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. I died for the sins of the world. I am a propitiation. 1 John 2:2. I propitiate. I perfectly satisfy a holy God in every way, so that any whosoever that would believe, I have propitiated, satisfied, paid the penalty. I have made it possible for, 1 John 2:2, for the sins of all of the world, all anybody's. I satisfied God. And therefore believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, in the light of that, on your way, stop at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I'm going to read verse 16 now, because I just tried to give you some help in understanding verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also will I bring. I'm going to bring them also, and there shall and they shall hear my voice. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And there shall be one fold, one flock, literally, one shepherd, just one shepherd over all the saved. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, all believers, the seed of the serpent, all unsaved. Two groups. I'm going to save everyone that will believe. I'm going to do it. Now, that's my job. So here we are. I'm just trying to help you. Why are we sitting here? Saved, I hope. Shepherd, we just read. I just read the context in John 10. He's a shepherd of those sheep. But he made it clear. I'm not the shepherd of just that blind man, that woman at the well. I'm not just their shepherd. I'm your shepherd. Do you understand? You are the rest that I included. And I didn't exclude you when I talked to those Pharisees. I included you. And I said it to them. And John, I had you add it to John chapter 10, verse 16, so that it would be clear that we, whosoever's, belong. Thus in closing, over Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I hope you got it. It's a lot to try to do. John 23. Verse 1. The Lord... David, what are you going to say? The Lord is... In parentheses, the Lord is my personal shepherd. And because you said that, David, I can say it legitimately and rightly. The Lord is my shepherd. Rightly so. Is he your shepherd? So what I read about him is for me. What they had and didn't take possession of, I do. You do. He's my shepherd. Caring, leading, guiding, governing. My shepherd. It's a verb, by the way. We'll do it somewhere here. It's the little verb, roe, a verb, participle. It has no beginning and no end to it, as it were. It describes his wonderful existence to leading, guiding, caring. For what? For all, Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And God is for me. It's for me. And little word, M-Y. You want to be able to say, he's a Savior. You want to be able to have my Savior. Thomas will say, after resurrection in the upper room, the second Sunday. My Lord and my God, my shepherd. We sing a hymn, my country, 'tis of thee. It's all about my country, my shepherd, my Lord, my Savior. Legit. Absolutely. God bless the Jews. God bless Israel. God bless them. God's going to fix it for them. And Israel, I'm sort of glad you fell, because I got taken up. But you aren't going to lose out. Be of good cheer. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Isn't that wonderful? God, you know all about me. And what are we doing? Sunday morning, Sunday school, what are we doing? We're learning all about him. So that he says, I know all about you, and I am able to return, I am knowing you. See? I know about your omniscience, your immutableness. I'm putting it together. I'm not just stupid about it. I know you. We're supposed to. And enjoy him as shepherd. Wow. Our Father and God, deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. Thank you very much for your word, God, as we stumble along. God, help us understand. It's a wonderful thing to be a human being, to have flesh and blood, male and female. God, to be able to be saved. Wonderful, wonderful, awesomely wonderful that you're able to save to the uttermost a believing heart, a receiving heart. God, thank you. Thank you for being super duper our shepherd, God. So we don't want to get fouled up in trying to figure out who's who out here. God, we want to know we're one of the whosoevers that believe. And God, we got it straighter and straighter so that we understand the benefits and privileges of knowing you. So we don't get hung up with the Jews, don't get hung up with the Gentiles. We should get hung up with you, Christ, the head of the church which is your body. Here we are together on your day, honoring you, just like you asked us to, told us to. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to sing 531. 531.